This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, April 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. A bill aimed at creating new penalties for cyberbullying failed in the State Judiciary Committee last week. The sponsor reluctantly asked lawmakers to postpone the bill, saying it needs more study. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Cyberbullying is a growing trend, but backers of a bill to crack down on the practice say it doesn't fit clearly into either the stalking or harassment laws currently on the books. Anna Berry says her teenage daughter was a victim and slumped into a two-year depression.
Our kids come home, and they go to where they should feel safe and loved, but instead, they're still hammered with texts, messages via social media. You should kill yourself. You should be dead. You shouldn't be here. No one likes you. Schools feel that it's not their problem because it's not happening generally on school grounds. And law enforcement can't do much because there's nothing in place that allows them to.
The head of the Colorado District Attorney's Council, Tom Raines, says the crime would have to be prosecuted as a misdemeanor and not a felony. He says cyberbullying would be added under the stalking laws.
I post something one time under this scenario, and it goes out instantly to 100, 200, 500, 1,000, 5,000 people, and it stays there. It's different. It continues, and it's so, yes, it happens once, but it's a much greater impact than a typical harassment case.
But opponents worry stricter penalties would criminalize young people on the margins. Kim Dvorak is the head of the Colorado Juvenile Defender Coalition and testified against the measure.
Any adolescent burst of anger, and I'm not trying to say boys will be boys or kids will be kids, but adolescence is a period of development. There are times when kids do say things that they do intend to cause serious emotional distress to another kid. The bill does not require mass dissemination. It could be a single email directed to one person. It could be a single text. The youth has no control over who may be subsequently disseminating that.
The cyberbullying bill had already cleared the House before Wednesday's actions. The sponsor, Democratic Representative Rhonda Fields of Aurora, says she's disappointed and saddened it'll now be reduced to a study.
What is there to study? Kids are hurting themselves. They're committing suicide. This is a national issue. This body, this elected body, should step up.
Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee assured supporters they're not tossing the issue to the side, saying a commission will come back with strong recommendations to address the problem. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A new study by the U.S. Geological Survey looks at the effects of climate change on animals in the American Southwest. The study found that each species reacts differently to climate change. KRCC's Eliza Densmore reports.
The study focuses on 12 bird and reptile species in the Southwest and how they're expected to endure changes in breeding ranges and habitats. USGS research ecologist and the study's main author, Dr. Charles Van Riper III, says the main finding is there's no uniform reaction among species to climate change, as shown by two birds studied.
Williamson sapsucker is one I think that managers should keep their eye on as potentially having a little bit of trouble with changing climate patterns in southwest Colorado. Other birds like a Virginia's warbler, which breed there, should do very well.
Van Riper says the study provides land managers and the public with an idea of the impact so they can take action to mitigate potential effects. The species studied were selected by an advisory board with members from the National Park Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and various other land management officials and scientists. For KRCC News, I'm Eliza Densmore.
The Jewish holiday of Passover begins today. There aren't many places for Jews to celebrate together in western Colorado, but small congregations in Aspen and Grand Junction help people to keep the tradition. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher reports on Aspen's rabbi, David Siegel, who was just named as one of the country's most inspiring rabbis.
Certainly honored and a little surprised, but grateful and inspired myself to continue trying to do great work here and continue contributing to a community that has been so supportive and embracing of us.
Some of the reasons they listed in the Daily Forward were inclusiveness and including the outdoors more. Were those specific goals that you guys had for your work here, or was it just something that evolved naturally?
I think they were definitely part of our goals to really be inclusive and reach out to much of the Jewish community in this valley. Definitely incorporating the outdoors has been a focus and something we want to try to do even more. We've even been inspired by one of the other inspiring rabbis, Jamie Korngold in Boulder, who is known as the Adventure Rabbi. She does a lot of outdoor stuff, so we've learned from her as well.
I'd say it was a goal. I mean, it's so easy to do here, and so many people live here and think of Aspen as kind of an intentional community in an interesting way, that people come here specifically to live in this kind of nature and find spirituality in this kind of nature. And people see religion as, often see religion as institutional and cold and impersonal, and they find their spirituality outdoors. And there's no reason why we can't bring religion outdoors. Our tradition was born outdoors. All the major moments in our religious history were outdoors. And it's kind of a shame that we think of religion as something that happens inside a building only.
Are there plans to expand that outdoor experience or involvement beyond what you're already doing?
Yes, I mean, always. We're always trying to think creatively and more openly about more opportunities for that. We have a few bar mitzvah ceremonies that we've done outside of the chapel. We have one coming up at Maroon Bells Bar and Bat Mitzvah ceremonies. And we have one coming up at Maroon Bells that we're really excited about. And it's nice that it can speak to the kid to be in a special place like that.
We actually just bought a kind of a travel Torah. It's this little mini Torah that we can take outside, and it's not hand scribed, so it's a little easier to transport. And we're kind of excited to try it at this specific bar mitzvah at the Maroon Bells and hopefully use it with more families and just give us more freedom and flexibility to be outside.
One of the things we have found interesting is our second home owner population who's here seasonally, either summer and winter or just one or the other. And they may be members in a synagogue in their primary hometown, often a bigger city with a bigger synagogue. And sometimes we hear from them, and it's the best one of the best compliments we can get. We hear from them, you know, I live in insert city, but this is my home congregation. And there's something about this place for those people in particular when they come here. It's a little bit of an escape from their everyday routine, but they find real power in the Jewish community that they found here with all their Jewish friends. So yeah, I do think there's something different here.
Stay tuned for Western Slope Skies from the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. This week, the April lunar eclipse, followed by the Monday morning music mix with Go Skip. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.